We're ready for session four, and session four is entitled The Secret to Raising Godly Children. We got that from a letter written by Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, who were mighty men of God who started the Methodist Church in the 1700s. And the Methodist Church at that point in time was really vibrant and full of the Holy Spirit, and it changed the nature of England, came to America. The Methodists helped abolish slavery. I mean, it was like a mighty, really work. She had 17 children. So her letter is on the handout we have on disciplining and how to spank your kids. She was asked what the secret to raising godly children was. So that's why we get this title. So I'm just going to read to you excerpts from her letter. She said, in order to form the minds of children, the first thing to be done is to conquer the will and bring them into an obedient temper. To inform the understanding is a work of time and must with children proceed by slow degrees as they're able to bear it. But the subjecting of the will is a thing that must be done at once, and the sooner the better. One thing about Susanna Wesley and Ingrid Hill is they know what they think and they're not afraid to say it, which is great. She says, by neglecting timely correction, they will contract a stubbornness and obstinacy which is hardly ever after conquered. And never without using such severity as would be painful to me as to the children. In the esteem of the world, those who withhold timely correction would pass for kind and indulgent parents, who I call cruel parents, who permit their children to get habits which they know must afterward be broken. Whenever a child is corrected, he must be conquered. I love her choice of words. This will be no hard matter to do if he not be grown headstrong by too much indulgence. And if the will of a child is totally subdued, and if it be brought to revere and stand of awe of the parents, then a great many childish follies and inadvertencies may be passed over. Some should be overlooked and taken no notice of, others mildly reproved. But no willful transgressions ought ever to be forgiven children without chastisement, which is physical discipline, spanking. More or less as the nature and circumstances of the offense shall require. I cannot dismiss the subject, as self-will is the root of all sin and misery. So whatever cherishes this in children ensures their after wretchedness and faithlessness. Whatever checks and mortifies self-will promotes their future happiness and piety. This is still more evident if we further consider that Christianity is nothing less than doing the will of God, not our own, that the one grand impediment to our temporal and eternal happiness being this self-will. No indulgence of it can be trivial, no denial unprofitable. Well, she says it plainly and bluntly. And of course, Ingrid said this earlier about being in charge. So I just wanted you to hear someone from the 1700s who had 17 kids, and she knew what it took to have order in her family and what it took to raise children who were arrows in the hands of God. Amen? So that's what we're after. We're after children who love God and are disciples of Jesus Christ. So looking at discipline, correcting the self-will, it's not as inspiring, but it's important. You know, this is kind of nuts and bolts. You know, how do we really do this? So again, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, Ingrid quoted that, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. In Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things. So you're given total control by God. And it says that when children obey their parents, it pleases God. So again, that should encourage you. God is pleased when your children listen to you. He's not pleased when they disobey you. So be encouraged. You must therefore learn how to be in control and to train them. And hopefully I'm going to be able to help you on this. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we believe that. It's our job to train our children. And our faith is that when they're older, they won't depart from it. Now, a friend of mine, many of you know Harry Katz at Fenway Church. Harry's quite a Bible scholar. He knows Hebrew. And he was reading a commentary on Proverbs 22:6, which says it's better translated, train up a child in his own way, according to like his own desire. When he's old, he won't depart from it. So this pastor, it's actually Pastor Hugenberger at Park Street, was saying, it's more accurately saying, if you just let a child do whatever they want, then that's what they'll be like when they're old. If they are unself-controlled, that's what they'll be like. I feel like the principle is the same, right? The principle is what children are formed, what habits they form, the kind of person they are when they're younger, carries into their adulthood. So either way, I think the point is the same for us. And I said that Ingrid and I just had a conviction. God wants our kids to love Jesus, to be Christians. We believe that. We believe that he wants your children to be Christians. And you should have that expectation. You should have an expectation that your children will want to obey you and that they you can have a successful family life. Point one under 2B, children are born without controls and they need your help and authority. Richard Fugate wrote a book on child training. A child must be told what to do. A youth needs to be taught why to do it. So when kids are little, they just need to obey you. That's all they need to know. As they get older and they understand more things, you can begin to tell them a little bit, oh, we do this because of this. Then, of course, by the time kids are teenagers, what you're trying to do is transition from you have to obey me to you have self-controlled young adults who, from their own volition, want to do what's right. They want to honor the Lord. And yes, you will have to like reason with them and talk to them in a different way. So we're starting with they're born without controls to we want to teach them why. So a great example in this book was children are born without controls. It's like babies in diapers. Okay? They can't control themselves, so we have diapers. Okay? Then as they get older, they learn how to use the potty. And it's that way in almost every realm of their life. They don't have any controls. And so you impose the control that they need until they can learn to develop their own self-control. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's what we're trying to do. So eventually, you're going to work yourself out of a job. Eventually, not totally, because, I love it. Our kids still call Ingrid. Sometimes they call me. I appreciate that. So, a couple of our boys call up Ingrid for advice on, like, girlfriend problems. Ingrid's like, man, you know, I said, Ingrid, you should be so happy that you have young men in their 20s who call you for advice. That's a tribute to you. One of those rewards, if you'll see it. What we teach our children is based in God's word, okay? And so that's where we're operating from. C, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him, Proverbs 22:15. So that sums it up, very basic. And when the Bible says foolishness, it doesn't mean silliness. Foolishness in Proverbs means people who are ungodly, people who are opposed to sound wisdom, people who are immoral. It's like a foolish man isn't just like someone who like makes jokes. A foolish man is someone ungodly. Does that make sense? So it's talking about driving ungodliness out of the heart of your child. So, you know, basic theology, creation, sin, the fall, redemption. So men and women, since Adam and Eve, are born with a sinful nature. And that's what you have to contend with as parents. And so we're trying to learn how we can teach kids to like be self-controlled. All right? So this is a bit, I can understand why some people talk about like parenting with grace. I haven't read the books on it, so I'm not sure what they're getting at. Of course we believe in the grace of God. But children need rules. They need the law. Okay? Scripture says the law is the tutor that leads us to Christ. You don't appreciate grace until you understand rules and breaking them brings punishment. Then when you get grace, you appreciate the grace. If you just indulge people, grace is meaningless. They're just always, you always kind of get away with it. Does that make sense? So it's important. It will be helpful for your kids in learning this is what life is like. It's also helpful for them learning what the gospel is about, that sin is corrected and is punished. Our kids learned that early on. I wanted to teach them that at the earliest possible age. It's just a biblical principle. So there's foolishness or sin in a child's heart. God ordained the rod to drive it out. Chastisement or spanking means to inflict suffering in order to bring about an amendment or change in behavior. Okay? So we're not doing this because I'm angry. We're not doing this because I can't take it anymore. That's how a lot of people, you know, God, that's what spanking means to them. So that's, we're not talking about that. In the Adrian Peterson's a big NFL player, best running back in the NFL, is in trouble because child abuse for spanking. And I haven't read exactly all the details, but the first time he was in trouble, his son was bleeding. So obviously that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about spanking our children. So I just want to make that very clear. In fact, I came across this article that I had found a few years ago. It's from the American College of Pediatricians, and they talked about spanking. Because maybe for some of you, spanking is a negative thing. Maybe you're, you know, the way your parents, you know, spanked you was beating or abusive, and you're like, I don't want to do that to my kids. Well, of course you don't. And I'm not saying this is how we understand Proverbs, this is how we did it. I'm not saying there aren't other ways to discipline your kids. So, but I'm just going to share, you know, we understand what worked for us. But they talked about, it was a study on physical punishment and spanking. And it's interesting, I was happy that the American College of Pediatricians actually concluded that the selective use of disciplinary spanking with young children can be a useful component of the disciplinary process. Because I was expecting them to come out and say, like, spanking's terrible and you should never spank your kids. And they kind of addressed that issue. And they made some points. I'll just read these to you because they're very helpful. Again, if you're kind of wondering, well, you know, what's involved in spanking? One, it's not overly severe. Two, it's used by a parent under control. And that's one of our big points. If you're not under control, how can you expect your child to be under control? So we can't expect our children to be more mature than us. Okay, so that's why a lot of parenting is God working on us. Three, especially used during the younger ages, like 2 through 6, and that's when they need a lot of spankings. They believe in like phasing it out from ages like 7 through 12. That's kind of what we just sort of ended up doing. I can remember my son Steve at one point was like 12 years old. When he was 12, he was like 6 feet tall. I mean, he's this big kid, and I spanked him for something, and he went in his room, and he was all upset. So I had to go in there and like say, like, you know, why are you so upset? And, you know, did I, you know, are you mad at me? He goes, no. He goes, I'm mad at myself. He goes, I'm too old for this. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, maybe he is too old for it. And so I was able to correct him, you know, without having to spank him after that. I mean, that seemed to, you know, that's, in all these things, we're giving you principles. And of course, you have to use your wisdom, you have to pray about it, you have to be led by God's Spirit on, you know, how to, you know, put everything into practice. He talked about used with reasoning, and I'm going to talk about this, explaining to your child why they're being punished. Used privately, it is important that's private. You don't want to embarrass your kids in front of other people. You have to be careful. You don't want to be spanking, you know, your kids in public, because then you could really get in trouble, you know. So you have to be wise. So anyways, if there's a concern about that, I'm just happy that doctors in America still conclude that, wow, you know, spanking can be useful when done properly. So God says a rod of discipline, spanking, physical punishment can drive foolishness from a child's heart. There's another scripture in Proverbs that talks about, you know, he who fails to, you know, discipline his child hates him. Wow, what a statement. So spanking is for rebellion, willful disobedience. So Susanna Wesley's talking about no willful transgression should be overlooked. Okay, so for instance, if, you know, at the table, kids spill their milk, kids, you know, whatever, they drop things. I don't spank them for spilling the milk. They had an accident. I have accidents. But if I tell them, you know, David, like, sit down in your seat, okay, and stop fooling around. Then he stands up and, like, knocks his milk over. Well, then, yes, I will spank him for that because he disobeyed what I told him to do. Stay seated. So as Ingrid said, you have to keep things clear. Spanking is done in a deliberate and calm manner, not out of anger. So if you're kind of out of sorts, you actually need to calm yourself down and then address your child. You may need to, like, pray. You know, you may need to, like, talk to someone else. But that's important because otherwise you're going to be working against yourself. It's going to, that kind of punishment will just bring about anger in the child, resentment, and it will be very unproductive. Spanking causes children to understand, number six, that disobedience always brings a painful consequence, thus sparing them from learning the hard way. We don't want our kids to have to learn everything the hard way. Like as Ingrid said, we know more than they do. So we're going to try and teach them the way of wisdom. How do we spank? First, we make sure the child understands why he or she is being punished. Okay? So it's like David, I'm using my oldest son David because he was the first one who got disciplined. You disobeyed me again. Okay, so now you know. And my kids knew that when you disobeyed, that meant a spanking. Okay? This was just was a recent example. David and Betsy use these principles in raising our three grandchildren. And some of you know my grandson Nathan. He's very rambunctious. And they were over at our house last year for some holiday or something. And I was sitting in my lazy chair, and I had been reading a book to Nathan, and then he got down, and the book was on the coffee table, and he picked it up, and he threw it. And David said, Nathan, go get the book and put it back. You can't throw books. So he gets the book, puts it back. Well, then he picks it up again, and he kind of looks at his dad, looks at the book, throws it across the room. His dad picks him up, and they call it, you're going to get a discipline. And he picks him up, and he starts carrying him out, and Nathan catches my eye as he's leaving the room, and he says very seriously, says, Grandpa, don't throw books. He was 3 at the time, I think. 3 or 4, and I laughed so hard. I said, well, buddy, you're learning the hard way. So he got his discipline, and, you know, he's getting the idea. I think that sequence is actually very healthy, okay? So I'm going to talk about that again. And using a rod, you know, what's a rod? You know, when we lived in Amherst, I actually got a switch off a tree, you know, just, it's not something big. It's something like a dowel, you know, like dowels at a hardware store. You can get like 1/4 inch, you know, 3/8 of an inch. And it stings. If like I do it on my hand or arm, it stings. And what you're doing is I pull up their diapers when they were younger, or I pull their pants down. I give several deliberate raps on the bottom, 2 or 3, boom, boom, boom. Ah, they cry. Okay, they get the idea. And then we look at each other, and they have to say, Daddy, please forgive me for what they did wrong. Right, exactly. And they get that. So, Daddy, please forgive me for disobeying you. Please forgive me for throwing the book. So I look them right in the eye and say, I forgive you. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help you to be obedient. And so we pray together. Then it's over. It's great. All right? So we're all back to normal. I'm not mad at him. They're back under my, you know, authority. Now, of course, sometimes one spanking doesn't do it. Sometimes you go back and they grab the book and they throw it again. So then I would take him back and spank him a second time. You're still disobeying me. We never had a problem with, if you spanked your kids a couple times, it usually like brought about obedience. We have friends who had really strong-willed kids, and they spanked their kids numerous times, and finally they would just have to call it a day. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to be like, I mean, the kid's just like, no, I'm not going to obey. And so then you just, you know, you have to kind of put it off to another day and pray and, you know, ask God for wisdom and think of other ways. You know, as kids get older, an effective form of punishment is to remove privileges. Okay, well, like, you know, you can't do this because you've been disobedient. So, you know, so we have other ways. I mean, some people use timeouts, and maybe that works. One thing for me, I think about, I guess if a child is in a timeout for 10 minutes or however long, if you can get them to, like, confess their wrongdoing and, like, apologize for it, then maybe that, you know, is productive. I mean, but a part of me thinks, like, yeah, they're just in the corner. They're kind of stewing the whole time, you know. So it's all a matter of whether that actually brings about. What we're looking for is a change of attitude. So whatever form of punishment or discipline you can find that brings about a change of attitude and behavior, then that's useful. Does that make sense? Okay, so again, we express our forgiveness verbally. We hug the child. We pray together to avoid this. And then you remind them, of course, you go over it. Remember, children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord. My kids heard that hundreds of times, but they need to be reminded. You have to obey me. You have to obey your mother. Okay, that's just the way it works. Number 7, learn to welcome confrontations. Sometimes you're just tired. Sometimes I'm at home, I just want to read the newspaper. And the kids are acting up. I don't really feel like dealing with it. So now it's my job. I got to die to myself. I got to put down what I'm reading. I've got to go. I don't want Ingrid, if I'm around and the kids are like disobeying Ingrid, I'll discipline them. I'll just say, all right, you're not obeying your mom. Let's go. Because I don't, I mean, she's already, go ahead. Right. If it's just Ingrid. Right. So, Ingrid's pointing out, when she's alone with the kids, she always disciplined them. She didn't say, well, I'm going to wait till your dad gets home, especially with like a 2 or 3 year old. They need immediate discipline. But I'm just saying, as a father, as the head of the household, when I'm around, I want to enforce it. Give Ingrid a break, right? She's been like already spending all this time having to reprove, having to discipline. So, yeah, I'm going to discipline you because you're not obeying your mom. So I want to reinforce that they have to be obedient to Ingrid. Mom must be honored. That's a rule in the Hill household. And as kids get older, then there's an issue of how they speak to their mother, you know, talking back, arguing. So then you have to address all those kind of things. But the initial point is I have to be willing to stop what I'm doing because it's more important to me to train my child than for me to relax right now. So I just have to sacrifice. That's what, as Ingrid put, God loves sacrifice. I'm the kind of person, you may not think of me this way, but by nature, I'm not a confrontational person. I had to learn, in order to be a pastor, I have to like point out to people what they're doing that's contrary to Scripture. That was really hard for me. As a dad, I had to like confront issues with the kids. Or even with Ingrid, we have a disagreement about something. There's a part of me that just wants to like, oh, well, just, I don't know, go read and hope it gets better. That doesn't work. We have to talk about it. So I have to like, okay, Ingrid, can we talk about this? So I had to learn to welcome confrontations. That was out of my nature. Ingrid mentioned Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loves, he what? Disciplines. So that's a sign of love. Not disciplining your child, God says, is not loving them. So that flies in the face of what goes on today. But we want to obey the Lord. You'll bear good fruit in it. Let all that you do be done in love. So, of course, we want to love our children. So here, let me give another example. When David was, I don't know, 20 months old, he was this chubby, cheerful, cute boy. And we had a garbage can in the kitchen. It had this lid, you know, that kind of goes in and out. And he liked to, you know, play with the lid and play with the garbage. And so I'd say, David, you're not allowed to play in the garbage. Okay? And so he understood that. He was at an age where he understood he had to obey. And so he was there playing, and I said, David, please don't play in the garbage can. So first, I'm articulating the rule. Okay, so I mean, I didn't want to just immediately spank him because he's, you know, only about 2 years old. I want him to make sure he's getting. Do you see what I'm saying? So every time they do something wrong, I say, no, let me explain to you again. So he looked at me, and he's kind of like still touching it. And then I would say, well, what did Daddy say? So I'll give them one grace chance. Right, here's your grace. Here's your opportunity to obey me right now. What I'm not going to do is ask you five times and increase the volume. Don't touch it. Don't touch. David, I said, David, you know, and just like what parents do, we just escalate. That's not wise. So David, what did I say? He turns around and he smiles at me, but he gives it a little backhand flap as he's walking by. And he's like, ha, 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 just fooled Dad. So, of course, I took him up. He got a discipline. And we went through it. I said, David, I'm disciplining you because you disobeyed me. He gets the three whacks with a switch. We pray together. He confesses his sin. He asks me to forgive him. I happily forgive him. I hug him. We pray together. We're all set. You know, we go back out. Fortunately, the rest of the day, he was good. He didn't play in the garbage anymore. But that's just an example of how we did it and how, you know, kids, that self-will just pops up, doesn't it? It's just there. And so we just have to consistently, lovingly, untiringly train our children. If we look at the next page, where do we start? Proverbs 29:15. It's only the last half of the scripture. The full scripture is, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. So our children need that discipline. They need, what is reproof? Reproof is correction. You need to stop doing this. This is what you're supposed to do. It's teaching. Tiring, but it bears fruit. You have to do it. We must not shy away from making our children obey us. I can remember examples. When we were in Amherst, for instance, there was this one playground that we used to go to. And there'd be all these moms and kids there, and you would see how the parents interacted with their children. And you understood the, you know, bringing shame to his mother. I remember this one time, this, you know, child's running around. So, now, like, Susie, you need to stop running around. We're going to go now. Child keeps running around the waiting pool. Susie, mommy asked you to stop. You need to stop now. Child keeps running around. Susie, you're not being fair to mommy. Well, that didn't work either. So the child keeps just, I mean, this is how people live. This is how they're living their daily living, trying to manipulate, trying to cajole, and it was embarrassing. I felt badly for the lady. There's another woman. There was an Amherst College professor. I mean, wonderful lady. She had this delightful little daughter. The daughter refused to obey her. So whenever they're at the park and she'd say, okay, it's time to go home, child would ignore her, just keep doing what they're doing. So then she devised this game of hide and seek. So the mom would get behind a tree and say, hey, you know, come find mommy. And the child would usually bite at it, and they'd run over to the tree, and then they'd go to the next tree, which is 20 feet closer to the car or home, and like, come find mommy. Do you know what I mean? You're just like doing that the whole way. Is that what you want your life to be like for the next 5 years? See what I'm saying? It's like, if you don't teach and reprove and enforce your discipline, it gets crazy. When do you start? I would encourage you to start as young as possible, teaching children the meaning of no. You can't do that. When our kids were on the changing table, you know, they hit a certain age where they're squirming on the changing table, and they're sometimes giving you a hard time. Okay, I'm getting it. So I would just use my finger and give them a whack on the thigh. And they go, ah, and they'd settle right down. I said, no, you have to sit still. And that's just simple. I was teaching them at a very early age, no. And they would get that. Children get a lot. You'd be surprised what a nine-month-old gets. You'd be surprised what a child who's only a year. They're getting way more than you think. And so I'm teaching them right then. It's like, no, you can't do that. I wrote, any child old enough to get into things is old enough to be spanked. We had this family, and they had a daughter who, was getting into, say, the magazines on the table, and she'd rip them up. So they put the magazines up higher where she couldn't reach it. Well, then, of course, a couple months later, she's taller, and she's grabbing those and reaching them. Then they're putting them up even higher. So at a certain point, it's like, wait, we've got to stop this. And like, teacher, you can't rip magazines. And so they began to discipline her for that. And of course, then they could put the magazines back where they wanted them to be. The next point after that is teach children to be faithful in little, then you can reward them with more. So one family, what they would do is they got an old catalog that they didn't care about, and they would give it to their child to play with, and the child would start ripping the pages like, no, don't rip. We take care of magazines. We take care of books. And so once the child learned to handle, the Sears catalog properly, well, then they could give him or her a book that they, really didn't want to be ripped. And because they were faithful and little, now they got a nicer book that they could read. And so that's the kind of process that we have to go through with our children. We're teaching them to learn to be faithful. Okay, you learn how to do this. Wow, now you get a nice book to look at. Number four, teach children to come when you call them. Again, this is just practical. I think one of the best things you can teach kids is you come when daddy calls. You come when mommy calls. Say, please come here. Well, that starts at a very early age, doesn't it? I mean, when they learn to walk. So it's like, please come here. I remember distinctly when my son Daniel just learned to walk. He was in his brother's big bedroom, and it was time to eat dinner or something. And he was playing around with some of the older boy stuff. I said, okay, Daniel, it's time to eat dinner. Come to daddy. And he turned around, and our eyes met, and he just stood there. And I said, Daniel, come to daddy, please. And he started crying. And I knew exactly what was going on. It was his will versus my will, and he didn't want to come, and he's starting to cry. So this was an instance, because he was young and I was just learning him, I gave him a lot more opportunities. I said, come on, Daniel, obey daddy. Come here. And he was just like, I could see this, he's crying and he's like, his body's shaking. And finally he breaks down and kind of walks over and, I grab him. So of course I'm lavishing praise. I said, Daniel, way to go. Like, you obeyed your dad. What a good boy. And hugged him. And that was such a significant, moment. So I guess maybe some people don't think that's significant. But it was huge to me, because he's learning to deny his will and do my will. Okay, now Steve's, 27, 28 years old. He's learned to deny his will and seek to do the Lord's will. That's what Susanna Wesley was talking about. So he learned how to do that at the earliest possible age. Here's another example. Obedient children are safer from danger. Is that true? Yeah. So one time with the older boys, it was in Amherst again. We would go across the street, and there was a hill that the kids played on, and there was a parking lot. And David had a little bike, and so David and Jonathan were over there, and we came to the edge of the street. We're waiting to cross the street to go back to our house. Ingrid was at the front door. Saw that we were coming and let Stephen out. He was, like 2 years old. So he's, coming to wait for us. So he's kind of walking towards the road. There's like 15 feet to the road. And as we step to cross, this car is coming. I said, oh, boys, we got to wait. And so all of a sudden I realize with horror that this car is coming and Stephen's walking and they're on a collision course. So I'm like, Stephen, stop! He just kind of smiles and takes another couple steps. So, Stephen, stop! And he stops. And this car, whizzes by. And we go back. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Now, would he have stopped anyways if I, hadn't disciplined him? I don't know. I mean, all I know is I'm thankful that I taught him to obey me, because that was a life and death situation. Okay, I put there, we see examples of children who are ashamed to their parents. Maybe you see yourself there sometimes. Maybe it's like, oh, that's kind of like me. That's okay, right? Even if your kids are 10 years old, 14 years old, and you're hearing a message like this, you can begin to implement the principles and take it to heart. That's just what we have to do. It's like, okay, Lord, I may have failed. Up to now, I repent from that, but God gives us a fresh start. You might not be able to spank your kids because they're too old for that now. But you can begin to explain to them, actually, what you need to learn to do is be obedient. You need to learn that you can't have your own way all the time. It's your job to teach that to your kids. So if they didn't get it growing up, you have to teach them when they're 13. Teach them when they're 13. They might not take it to heart for a couple years. Who knows? But teach it to them, right? That's what we need to do. And I think a lot of times parents don't get this. Sometimes I'm encouraging people who are new Christians. I'm encouraging them to say, you should start teaching your children. You should start reading the Bible to your children. And they're kind of like, oh, I can't do that. I go, sure you can. It's not that hard. I mean, you can just start in the Gospel of Mark. Just read a story or a passage and then say, okay, what do we learn from this? Okay, well, there's always a message, right? We learn to have faith. We learn that there's something we should avoid and not do. Okay, pray about that. Okay, we're going to pray that we learn to live that way. It can be a five-minute Bible lesson, but it's fruitful. It's effective. Because we want to impart truth into our kids. But it's really important with people who like become Christians and have older kids, because those older kids have spent their whole, you know, whole lives at that point without God's word being implanted into their heart and minds. And so that can be, you know, really tragic. So start wherever you're at is my point. God will give us grace. But they're teaching children to obey you the first time you ask. So I give them that grace. What did Daddy say? And I told Ingrid to do this. You ask him once, Ingrid, then you say, what did Mommy say? Okay, now it's serious. We don't have to escalate. That's very effective. You have to use your own wisdom and discernment. Make sure they understand what you're asking them to do. Ingrid said that earlier about being precise. Asking questions like, what did I say? Now, if they can't tell you what you said, you can tell them again. Okay, now you understand. This is what I said. Now we're going to deal. Do you understand? And so if the kids if the kids shook their head that they understood, then I always made them speak, yes, Mommy. Because I want them to acknowledge what Ingrid said. Like, yes, Mommy. Do you understand? Yes, Daddy. I want you to get that because now we're communicating. Now we're on the same sheet of music. So discipline's only effective when you're on the same sheet of music and the kids understand what's happening to them. God made us parents to demonstrate his love and acceptance to our children. We represent God the Father to our children. Some of us have trouble in our walk with God because of our relationships with our own mother and father. If your dad's very, very stern, if your dad was very distant, you tend to think of God as being stern and God as being distant. And so part of being a Christian is getting your mind renewed. Just say, oh, no, that's not what God is like. And sometimes you have to hear a lot of messages. You have to pray about it. You have to ask people to pray for you that you can overcome what you grew up with. When we learn new things about God, we learn to receive his grace, then we can impart that to our children. So we want to do that. We want to learn to give God's love and grace to our children. Seek to be your child's closest confidant as they grow up. What's that mean? We asked a family, a couple, had two delightful teenage daughters. We said, what was the secret? You know, because, right, you're a parent, you want to know. And they said, well, one thing we always did with our daughters is we talked to them before they went to bed at night and prayed for them. And we found that when we talked to them right before they went to sleep, they would begin to open up with us and tell us what was going on in their life. I said, oh, wow, that's really wise. And so communication with your children is very important. So this is kind of moving out of just discipline into, you know, how do we raise our children? So we have to learn to communicate with them. We have to have that. I love this, that our older kids still call us for advice. They call Ingrid. They actually do really value Ingrid's wisdom. And they ask her about it. That makes me so happy. Well, that was something that we built up over the years. We tried to develop that. E, failures are inevitable. Do not fear them, as they are springboards for long-term success. Do you believe that? We're going to have failures. You know what I mean? Ingrid and I used to be like, you know, kids don't have to like have tantrums. You know, you can train them to not have tantrums. And I believe that. But Ingrid was at the mall one time and asked David to do something. And sure enough, he threw himself on the floor right in the middle of the mall and started throwing a tantrum. Ingrid's like, this isn't supposed to happen to Christians. It happened. So, of course, you know, she picked him up and moved on. That's just, I mean, yeah. Our kids aren't perfect. Larry Tomczak, this quote, E1, don't be surprised if my children disobey. But do be surprised and correct me if I don't do something about it. There we go. Yeah, our kids are going to disobey. We understand that. But we need to do something about it. Galatians is a quote about don't be weary in doing good. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that's what they reap. So if you sow unconditional love, you sow not growing weary and reproving them and telling them again and disciplining them again, you just keep sowing, you're going to reap one day. God's not mocked. It will bear good fruit. Don't be afraid or ashamed to ask for help. Ingrid and I have no problem asking people for help. There were a couple times we went to visit our friends the Zeelys with help in our marriage, asking help for raising kids. It's really, praise God, we've got other people around who've gone before us, so never be ashamed to ask for input. Closing out here, teach children their own personal accountability to the Lord. So we discipline our kids, but we're trying to make a shift to you have a responsibility before God. Mom and dad are Christians. You're not a Christian until you personally put your faith in Jesus. That you have to do that. And so we taught them that at a very young age. And so that was helpful because then as time went on, I would begin to direct it, are you honoring God? I mean, you tell me you want to honor God. Are you honoring him right now? So obviously now I'm talking to like a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old. But that was very effective. It's getting it out of just me to like, this is how we live life. We live life in the fear of the Lord. Well, we'll have times, you know, again, as we're going to do a small group, a growth group on this, we'll have lots of times to discuss this more. But that's closing. When we teach our children that they can't get their own way, we're preparing them to want to do the will of another, to do God's will, and that will bear fruit. So, thank you.